that'll do it for this program. But now the real stars are here. Shadrick and Lagerman.
Listen, just because you got called out that you wanted to smoke marijuana legally.
Unbelievable.
How about that? Did you hear about
that?
No. Oh, so Frank is advocating that it's okay to smoke marijuana on the show. I was like, I didn't know he was waiting for a little.
That's not exactly how it happened.
Frank, I'm not with you in that. But
that was a good edit, though.
I did just have a flight of beer. I don't know if that counts in that category or not.
We are live here at the Mellon Mushroom and Avenue. What a cool place. You guys, this is a regular for you guys, right?
Yeah, Monday night, man. This is where the magic happens for Jaguars Monday. Yeah.
It is a cool place. Cool hangout, isn't it?
I was going to say, well, not for me, because I have to deal with Prisco on Monday night.
That's right.
Me and JP. So
this is the routine in on Monday night. You know, work all day, do the film review and all that kind of stuff, and then come down here early.
Yeah.
Get a meal, because the food here is exceptional.
Yeah.
And we do a TV show, and BMO, Brent Martineau, will be. He'll be bellied up at the bar with me on Monday nights this fall.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
You know, but here's the best part about this. First of all, it's got great service, got great food, got a wide selection of beer. But maybe my favorite thing about this is the old architecture of this building.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's a new building, but it looks old.
I disagree. It's the food.
It just got quieter.
It really good.
I mean, everything.
It could be a tent.
Vicelli is a very simple man.
Yeah, Absolutely.
He doesn't understand and appreciate the ambiance of a nice architectural building.
It's a beautiful area of town.
It is a great part of town.
It really is. JP, this is an old
trying to be. He's trying to be like he's a Renaissance man. Architect. And this.
That was quite a sales pitch.
Give me
a
break.
That was nice.
Mellon Mushroom has great food. Let's leave. I mean, unbelievable. Wide selection of
indoor seating, outdoor seating, open the windows. It's awesome.
Can we get a thin crust Mighty Meaty over here?
I'm just telling you, the calzones here, unbelievable.
JP, it is your stomping ground, right?
Used to be. Yeah. I used to live about a mile away down here.
Yeah,
so
okay,
when this opened, I was here quite a bit.
Yeah. Right,
I might still have a tab running, actually.
I bet you.
Last time.
What's coming up tonight? What do you guys got?
A little talk about what O'Halloran reported earlier today. A little conversation maybe between Auburn and the Jags. What does that mean? A little Cam Robinson talk tonight, too. We'll go around the league. And then Carson Tinker's going to join us.
He's here
tonight with his headband and everything.
Yeah, big show.
He rode his bike here. He's ready.
Are you going to stick around and have some pizza?
Cold
ones?
I don't get to see this very often. You kidding me? I'm honored.
It's a treat.
I'm honored.
Frank, if you're here at 7 o'clock, I'm going to have another flight with you.
You know what? I'm not leaving.
Okay.
That decided it for me. Okay?
That's a lie.
Yes, I'm staying.
I'll buy you a flight.
Oh, now he might stay for that.
That I will. It is Jaguars Thursday, and it starts right now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, and Tony Boselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
We're off and running on Jaguars Thursday from Mellow Mushroom in Avondale. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, come join us. What a gorgeous afternoon. The windows are open here at Mellow Mushroom. The TVs are on. The food is out. The drinks are flowing. We're going to have quite a time tonight.
The weather is perfect.
How about that spinach artichoke dip?
Oh, that was fantastic, yeah. I didn't go flight a beer yet. That's after the show.
Yeah,
for me.
I can't believe you're drinking straight vodka.
I know. You've got to start strong right now. I would never before.
I'm a professional. I drink water.
That's right.
I hydrate. I try to focus on the show. That's not mine.
Oh, so you're drinking straight vodka.
No, yeah, that's water. That's mine, right? Whatever that is.
So Boselli's drinking the vodka. JP's got a diet soda.
That's right. Well,
rum and Coke?
No.
You're fixated on the old alcohol right now. It is a beautiful day, though. Great food. Great place.
Awesome place.
If you're in Avondale, come stop by and get JP's and Lagerman's and Carson Tinker's autographs.
You know, the cool thing
you're
about
not signing
this place,
today, Bo?
If you give me a piece of pizza, I will.
Okay.
Yes, I see pizza.
Trade.
The outside seating that they have, because the building kind of faces east, the front, so you actually get shade at this time of the evening out with the outdoor seating. It's a pretty nice setup.
A lot of things happening tonight. You can register to win 4 tickets to a Jaguars home game in the United States. Let's put that out there. You can register for that tonight. The Roar of the Jaguars are here. They're making the rounds this evening. Hello, ladies. And Carson Tinker is here as well. The Jaguars.
Hello, ladies. Hello, ladies. Did you see he looked back to it? Like, yeah. Hello, ladies.
Yeah. What's up? All right.
It worked. Strong.
That's so JP.
Strong to very strong. The one single guy on the show.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Phase two of the offseason program. Final week of it. OTAs start next Tuesday. There's Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on the field. It'll be open to the media, parts of it, certain days. What are we going to see at OTAs that we haven't seen already? We haven't seen anything.
Well, we haven't seen anything, so you're going to see guys working. Right now, during phase two, they're not allowed to have any work against each other. It's all conditioning, working on drills and footwork and stuff like that, but no one-on-one or even working together in any kind of contact at all, zero. So you'll get some non-padded work against one another. Still the one-on-one, which is a big deal. It was changed number years ago. Years ago, we could one-on-one pass rush or one-on-one offensive receivers against defensive backs. But now it's more team stuff. It's more drills of working offensive line against offensive line, defensive line against defensive line, and coming up and having –
it's like one big individual period.
Yeah, one big individual. But you will have some team stuff at the end where you can do – ones versus ones working, and from it's full speed in the sense that you go fast. I mean, that was one of the biggest things I learned coming from college to the NFL. In college, you say no pads, just helmets. It's you're jogging through. I mean, it's like you're just kind of feeling your way through it. I remember that first day in practice, no pads. I'm like, wait a second. It sure feels like we have pads on with nothing. I mean, because you're going. I mean. You learn.
Guys put hands on you.
On. You're punching guys. You're grabbing. You're moving your feet. And it's actually, you really find out the athletic ability of guys with no pads because you quickly realize who can't stay on their feet and who can. And I don't think I've ever seen a good or great or, a guy who excels in the NFL that is on the ground all the time. I mean, I think it's part of the evaluation process. It would be for me if I was looking, guys. If a guy can't stand on his feet during no padded practice, get some athletic ability issues.
And that's dangerous for guys around him, too.
Very dangerous. But that's what you'll see. So it'll be interesting to see how much time we're allowed out there media-wise. Because, we've talked about it several times, and it's been a story. It's much different. When Gus and Dave were kind of making the decisions, it was wide open. I mean, full access. Come as much as you want. Stay as long as you want. And the day that Tom Coughlin got hired, you knew it was going to be different. I mean, he was going to limit it, and there'll be times when the media can be out there. And
JP, have you ever stood in a penalty box?
Yeah, and there's going to be certain areas.
Are you familiar with the penalty box?
Yes, I've heard the story before. Right,
but back in the day when Tom Coughlin was running this organization as the head coach and everything else that came along with that title, he literally would have a painted area on the sideline, and you had to be in that painted area. We jokingly called it the penalty box. You got the practice and all the media is in this one little small area.
On the far end of the field.
You think they'll do that again?
Yeah.
Would you be surprised?
No, but I hope not, because I'll say this.
Because you're a member of the media now.
Because you can't see anything. I mean, they're all over there. It's like, what are we doing?
That's the way it was. I mean, back, there used to be.
So you'll see even less.
Where Daly's place is being built now, that's where the practice fields used to be. And there was three practice fields. And when you walked onto the field, on the first field that was right there, that's where the penalty box was.
And we always practiced on the far field.
If you were practicing, if the team was practicing on field two or field three, you were still in that one penalty box.
Right.
So you couldn't see anything.
Unless you had binoculars, so.
Which you probably didn't allow to practice.
If that's what it is, that's what it is. Yeah, but hopefully it will be a little more friendly than that. That's a little over the top.
Next week, the only.
But I'll say. Unless you're a coach, unless you're really out there evaluating and really know what you're looking for, I think it's almost dangerous. You start making conclusions and, you know, basing, you know, evaluation. You don't learn that much, is my point. I mean, as we go out there, Jeff, so when you're out there full access, and we go out there a lot, especially under the old regime where it was full access, you could do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
At least for me, after the first practice or two, maybe
about three.
I mean, I know it. Okay,
seen all I want to see.
I don't need to see anymore. I know what these guys are. Until we get pads on, I'm not, because you got to remember, as a coach, what you're doing, you're out there, you're building a game plan and putting plays in and watching the mental aspect of it and trying to insert game plans and teach different techniques. From our standpoint, we're just watching guys move around and see who can do it, who can't. Two or three practices, at least for me, I'm like, okay, he can do it, he can't. Now we'll wait to the next level of when they have pads on. Mm-hmm. And then you make another kind of demarcation, okay? We thought he could do it, but now you get the pads on. Oh, he can't do it.
That's happened quite often.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. Then you get to the preseason, you're like, okay, here's a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, in OTAs with no pads on, Dante Fowler's like, whoa, my goodness. Puts the pads on, whoa, my goodness. Gets into the preseason, slow down.
It was actually
the Tampa Bay
Buccaneers practice,
which I consider almost like a preseason type thing.
That's what it kind of slowed down.
And all of a sudden, we were like, well, maybe we were right about that over under being five.
But I think if you're Tom Coughlin, the other thing that you would probably like to prevent, I mean, Tony and I don't do this, but I mean, there are some writers that cover the Jaguars that will literally keep a count of, you know, Blake Bortles completions, attempts, interceptions.
So dumb.
You know, everything on the quarterbacks and provide, you know, kind of a daily update. And I don't think that it's very right to do that for the quarterback, because, I mean, during that time and the quarterback's trying to do different things, it's not like this is a game that you're trying to evaluate the numbers on from the quarterback, because most people that read that,
be most very misleading.
Their impression is the numbers are the numbers. Well, look, you know, maybe, you know, quarterback is trying to do something different. Maybe it's a play that they intentionally told him, you know,
to throw to the wrong place
so that to see if the defense is going to be where and allow them to make a play or whatever. You know, so I think that's a little bit over the top, and so maybe you eliminate a little bit of that by limiting some of the access
now,
from the media.
The team's obviously counting reps for Bortles. That Doug Marrone said that last week. They want to get a certain kind of window of reps for the whole offseason and in the training camp for him. That's one thing, but you're talking about the 20 for 25. It's not a game. You can't do that.
Well, now you're not giving a full picture of what you're doing. Because here's a perfect example. So if I look at the entirety of Blake Bortles' day, and you're in 7-on-7, you better be complete about 95% of those passes in 7-on-7. No, 90, 95%.
Yeah, it'll be 80.
At least. There's 80. No pass rush. I mean, you're just sitting back there. Well, now you get teamed.
What if the coverage is good, Tony?
Come on.
I mean, come on.
You ask
they
any,
play football, too,
okay,
on defense.
I'll say this.
It's JP, 7-on-7 is an offensive drill.
Offensive drill.
Okay.
I'll give you a couple examples here. You ask any quarterback worth his salt, and they'll tell you, if the offense isn't dominating 7-on-7, you got a problem. And then you go to one-on-one pass rush, offensive line, defensive line. And you'll ask anybody, if as a defensive lineman you can't win in that drill, you can't.
You don't have a chance of winning on game day.
When it's real. That's a defensive drill. You go back and forth. There's different drills that are set up for the offense, different drills set up for the defense. Now, when I say set up, they have an advantage.
Yes.
And, you know, it's difficult to – will you leave me alone?
Jackson DeVille is here bothering Tony.
My goodness.
Which we all agree with.
He's so unprofessional. It's embarrassing. Oh, I like that. A little massage. Keep that up. I'll give you an hour to stop. So, you know, that's why it's misleading what those numbers mean. And I agree with Jeff. Why do it? And I agree with Tom. I would, as a coach, I would limit it a little bit, or I'd mess with them a little bit.
To be perfectly honest with you,
I'd say no. You can stay, but no tweeting.
You can't tweet until the end of practice.
I am totally okay.
Or even during practice, you cannot give any individual stats. I would make something up, and if you do and I find out, you're out.
I'm totally okay with limited access for the media.
I am too.
I mean, for a couple of reasons. One, I think it allows some work to get done without – but
And you want to be on the – you can fish
and,
more.
Yes, that means I don't have to be there.
You can fish more. Let's be completely honest.
pull that boat out and get on the river.
Yeah. Oh, I can't go to Jaguars practice today. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to go fishing.
Jeff's
okay.
Fishing season sure. just got extended by a couple of weeks.
Twist my arm. No practice. Okay.
That's good stuff. Today, Ryan O'Halloran of the Times Union reported, as you heard throughout the day here on 1010XL, that there was some contact between the Jaguars and Brandon Albert.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Than not having contact, I guess.
Contact he answered his is phone? Good, but what does that mean?
It means he's alive, I guess.
You know, I mean, look, it doesn't matter until you get to the OTA days, which he doesn't have to be here for them, okay? But I think as a professional, he should be here for them. And if he's not here for the OTAs, if I'm a teammate of his, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And if he's not here for the mini camp, then it's a money situation. But I think as a teammate, you need to be there for the OTA days to start to learn your teammates, to start to work with your teammates, to start to sweat with your teammates, to get to know them. Because you know what? He's a new guy. And if he's not here for the OTAs, I'd have a real problem with it if he were on my team. Okay. I'd have a problem with it.
Here comes the other side. I can feel it coming. So,
but if he shows up in training camp and he's a hell of a football
player. You
wouldn't
care.
Doesn't matter.
I would be okay with it.
It's an all-season story.
You're my best friend now.
Exactly.
So here's the issue.
But still, you would like to see him here because you know what? It's what it's about. You know, it's
but
kind
Jeff,
of a
wait a
statement.
Second, Jeff. Come on now.
Oh, well, what are you up? Are you a union guy now?
No, I'm not a union guy. It is.
Wait a minute. Do we have to replay what he said? Was okay. it last week or the week before?
I don't know. Let me just say what I'm going to say. It's voluntary. I'll come back and say it. Let's go to break.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you the other side of it. I don't completely disagree with Jeff, but there's a caveat.
I think I have an idea where
there's
you're going.
There's a caveat.
So let's come back. Hey, it's 9 days until the opening of Daly's Place. 9. Count them on 2 hands. That's how close it is. Brought to you by the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association and Visit Florida. Play local, eat local, stay and play. Remember Diana Ross coming June 28th, Lady Antebellum July 27th. Tedeschi Trucks Band starts it off. A week from Saturday at Daly's Place. Back with more. We're at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale. Come see us. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
We continue from Mellow Mushroom Avondale. JP. Patrick, Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars Thursday has just received a thin crust mighty at the table.
Wow.
At the start of a segment. This could sound awkward the next few minutes.
Yeah. I'm gonna try to hold.
We'll see what happens.
So good.
Wafting smells smell really good. It really does. And
can I get some plate in case I get hungry?
I thought that was your plate.
Well, I'm trying to share with JP.
You can register to win 4 tickets to a Jaguar game in the United States. That's tonight. So register. Here.
Oh,
come join
my
us.
Goodness
Chicken
gracious.
Weeks.
Look at this. We need plates. Plates.
You can register to that. Come join us at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale. Todd Zainzinger, the grassroots marketing coordinator, has done a great job tonight.
Where are you going,
out here.
Tinker?
And, yeah, the plates are here.
Tinker, bring those back.
Appreciate
those aren't
that.
Yours.
Thank you.
Well, you ordered those?
Oh, Carson Tinker took the wings.
That's okay.
The
he
long
needs
snapper.
It.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Shocking that the long
we can't
snapper.
We didn't order wings. We didn't order what they brought for
they're
us. I thought
yours.
You were stealing our food. It's okay though.
I'm not shocked at all by that.
So explain yourself.
Right, other side.
Brandon
here. So before the break,
yeah, sorry.
It was the Brandon Albert situation. Jeff, you'd be upset as a teammate that he's not around for OTAs or has not been around.
I don't think Jeff would be upset. Number one.
No, I would.
It sounds good.
New
Jeff
coach,
would be upset.
New team, I think you need
if
to be
If he was
there.
Not very good, Jeff would be upset. If he was good, he wouldn't care. But it is voluntary. He does not have to be here. It's not
right.
What he gets. He's not getting paid to be here. I do agree with Jeff, though. I'm not saying I would be upset. I think he should be here because he's a new player on a new staff with a lot of changes going on. And my guess is, Jeff, if this was Brandon Albert year two, three, or four of being on this team, and he decided as a 11-year guy who just made a Pro Bowl or whatever.
Wouldn't have a problem with
that. I really don't want to be there until I have to. I'm going to stay home and work out and be ready because I'm a pro. I'm going to be ready to go. You wouldn't care.
No.
You wouldn't. Now, Tom Coughlin and Doug would still be upset.
Sure.
But I know Jeff wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. Now, I think he should be there. But I'm lying to you if I said I'd be upset as a player. I'd be like, well, listen, I'm not happy. But as long as he's ready to play, he's ready to play. I'm going to go take care of my business. But because I agree with Jeff 100%, even though it's voluntary, there's no obligation to be here at all. As a professional on a new team with a new staff that you are, and you are one of the highest paid players, I think you should be there as well.
Money doesn't have anything to do with it.
No, but I'm just perception wise.
He's going to be your starting left tackle.
Well, right now, not according to the Tom and Doug. Cam Robinson is.
Well, that's easy for them to say now because he's not here.
I agree.
But when Brandon Albert walks in the door, Brandon Albert is not going to get beat out by a rookie second-round pick.
My question is this. Let's say both Brandon Albert and Cam Robinson in this make-believe world are both equally good, as good as each other. Same quality. Which one do you move to left guard?
Mm. Mm. You may not move either one of them to left guard.
No. Your five best offensive linemen include Cam Robinson.
It doesn't necessarily mean that if those two guys are equal at left tackle, it doesn't mean that they are one of your five best.
I'm saying that you're one of your best five play offensive linemen. As you rank your offensive line, which every scout, every coaching staff does, one through five. And they're 4A and 4B to make up.
Me, I would move the rookie to guard.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
And the reason why is that, look, there are going to be things that a left tackle in the National Football League is going to see.
That's not why I do it.
That a rookie would have no clue.
That's not why I do it.
Why would you do it?
Very simple. I do it because Brandon Albert is an established left tackle who's made Pro Bowls, and he has an ego. And if you move him to left guard, he is not going to handle it very well, in my opinion. He's going to be like, you think I was mad because I didn't get paid and I didn't show up? You're not moving me to left guard. If you move the rookie to left guard, here's the conversation you have. Laramie Tunsil did it last time. You're going to be our left tackle. Jonathan Ogden is a Hall of Famer. He started left guard. We're going to move you to left tackle. You're our left tackle of the future. This is for this year. We're only committed to do this. It gives us the best chance to win. That's an easier conversation.
My decision was ignoring egos. I mean, from the standpoint of performance wise, you want to because as a guard, he's protected somewhat.
I get that. I'm just saying, if they're equally as good, I'd still move. I don't think you can move.
I
don't think you can move Brandon Albert to guard.
I don't think that you know what? That might not even be a possibility.
Of
moving Cam Robinson.
I guarantee you, those two are. If Brandon Albert shows up healthy, those two are two of your five best offensive linemen.
Yeah, Cam's going to be on the field somewhere.
Guarantee it.
He's not.
Cam Robinson is not sitting the bench. I'll bet you.
I don't think that's a guarantee.
How much you want to like a bet coming again? We have a history of bets.
You already owe me. You lost a steak dinner. You want to do another steak dinner? I know you want to lose another steak dinner though. You lost one.
No.
Then keep. I mean,
you're saying it's not a lock.
Lock of the year. Like,
whoa.
Anything you want to bet,
bet you. Calm down. It's May.
Lock of the year.
Early.
If he is healthy, he's on the field.
Okay.
I'm not saying left tackle, but he's on the field.
What's the bet, boys?
We'll see. No bet.
Oh, you're backing off.
So who won? Did I win?
You kind of won that.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not the one who suggested a bet, so therefore I'm not backing off.
You're backing down a little bit.
Creeping away from it.
Well, first of all, I'm saying they're going to be two of your five best offensive linemen. They're two of the most talented. They might be one and two. Those are two talented dudes.
Is there any person that's playing left guard on this team right now that's better than Cam Robinson if he moved inside?
No.
Or we don't know yet, really, because he's never played guard.
I don't care. I know. Watching him play in college and watching him move and what he can do, as long as he works. So that's the one unknown we don't know. If he works, he is a talented dude, man. I'm telling you. You watch the tape. I'm not going to change my opinion. I liked Forrest Lamp for the immediate, but I said it right after they drafted him. He had the most upside of any of them. He's a big – and have you seen him? I've seen him in person now. He's a huge man who can move. And he is the most nasty. He has the most nastiness in him as far as finishing guys of any of these guys if you go watch his tape.
Who does?
Cam Robinson. Go watch his tape.
Of any of who?
Of any of the rookies who came out.
Got it. I don't know about that.
No, I do. Go watch what he does. And I didn't think of this until you played the Nick Saban tape, but Nick Saban's right. Even the bigger games, he even plays nastier. Go watch him against LSU, what he's trying to do, those cats, who are all going to be NFL players, trying to kill him. I'm not changing my – I loved Forrest Lamp. Jeff and I were in agreement. I'm not saying this just because we picked Cam Robinson. I always thought Cam was the most talented of everyone. I thought Forrest Lamp is the most ready to where the Jags had the biggest need, which is at guard. But you're kidding yourselves. We are kidding ourselves if you think Cam Robinson, barring an injury, is not on the field when we play in Houston on September whatever, on Battle Red Day to start the season. I mean, it just ain't happening. It ain't happening.
It's different, though.
It's not different.
It is. It's, you go from tackle to guard. He's never
played. Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is not a Madden game.
He's never taken a snap at guard in his life.
I'm telling you. He's going to.
It's easier to say than it is to do.
You still have to have some time playing guard in camp, though, right?
No, he will.
Will that be over with?
When Brandon Albert gets here.
When Albert wins the job.
If I'm the coach.
How long does that competition last in camp?
Zero.
Right away, he's the left guard.
Day one, I'm getting – Brandon Albert is my left tackle. Cam Robinson is getting reps as the number two guy, but he's with the number one left guard. That's what I'm doing. Now, I'm not saying that's what Tom and Doug are going to do. They could be thinking – I mean, according –
They said he's a left tackle.
According to everything coming out, he is their left tackle.
That's what I'm saying.
Fine. I'm just telling you, if you're asking Tony Boselli his opinion, what he would do, that's what I'm doing. I know what Brandon Albert can do. Now, if he doesn't show up to OTAs, all those – and everything else – it slowly erodes my confidence of him doing that. But you know what Brandon Albert is. You know what type of left tackle he is. I can watch the tape and tell you that Cam Robinson can play guard because he's physical enough. And he is a big man.
Do you think he can be a good left tackle?
Do I think Cam Robinson can be a good left tackle?
I'm talking Pro Bowl caliber left tackle.
Uh-oh.
He has a chance. I want. Here's my only thing, Jeff. And it was so hard watching Alabama because he was never asked to kick, step, and block a drop back passer.
Because they didn't have it last year.
No, they didn't have it. Right. I'm not saying it was his fault.
It was not their offense.
It wasn't his fault.
He did a little bit.
A little bit.
But Tennessee, he did it.
And you watch him. He blocks Derek Barnett.
Yep.
And he blocks Miles.
Gave up a sack to Barnett, too.
Barnett was good, though. We all agree. I mean, I'm not. And he handled Miles Garrett, no problem. Now, Miles Garrett supposedly had an ankle and everything else. So. But he was not. He didn't do a lot of true drop back. A lot of it. You watch him move. You watch him at the combine. He listened to Tom and Doug talk about his pro day and everything else, and his movement styles. He has great feet. He is an athlete. You can tell that. I just haven't seen him do it, so I always worry about that. So, I thought if I had to bet everything. We said this coming out of the draft. I thought he'd be a better right tackle than left tackle based on what I just saw on tape because of how they played. But in fairness to the kid, he didn't get all proper opportunities. We'll find out. Can't wait to see when he has the kick set against Ngakoue. I just want to see his footwork.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I saw on him, like watching Tunsil last year, Tunsil had great feet.
Great feet.
And
he had lighter feet.
Cam Robinson does not have feet.
He has good feet.
Like that.
Not great feet, good feet.
Cam Robinson has good feet. Lamry Tunsil had great feet.
Good feet, but not great feet.
Right. I agree. But that doesn't mean there's been a lot of really good tackles playing the Pro Bowl that just had good feet.
I mean, look,
because
look,
as big as he is.
Look at Whitworth in Cincinnati.
Thank you. He has low good feet.
Can't bend his knees hardly anymore.
He knows
and
angles.
Has slow feet.
He has angles.
But he is a heck
big.
Of a football player.
He's big. Cam Robinson's bigger than Tunsil. He's long. He learns angles. With his good feet, he could be a dominant player.
Is there any
– but that's where I go back to it's the work for him. To me, it's all about work for him.
Yeah.
If he learns to work, if he learns to be a pro, he's a young guy.
And get stronger upper body.
Much stronger.
Is there any chance of him moving to the right side?
No.
They like Parnell enough there?
Yes. And I'm getting tired of the whole Parnell talk, to be honest with you. I think Parnell, if you look at the last four games, played good football. The middle part was just okay. He had the groin, though. No one talks about it. A bad groin injury. He finished off strong. He's one of the hardest workers. He's physical. He's nasty. Jeremy Parnell, if you took all the right tackles in this league, is in the upper echelon of right tackles.
He has a great work ethic. Great work ethic.
He's got a lot of tread left, too. He hasn't been used a lot.
Young
hasn't played a lot of football.
Not young in age, but he's young in mind.
Jeremy Parnell is your, barring injuries, your right tackle for five more years. Wow. That's how I think he's good. Wow. I mean, everyone wants to kill Jeremy Parnell. I'm like, what are you talking about? Go watch the tape. Go watch the rest of this league. And when he was struggling in the middle of the year, he had a bad groin injury. And now we're going to punish the guy because he doesn't complain and doesn't say a dang word, just goes and works. Never complained, never made an excuse, and he shouldn't. If you're good enough to be on the field, you go play. But I'm not going to evaluate him based on those four games. I like Jeremy Parnell.
He's a workout nut. Did you see the size of
it's
his
a large human being.
Tuesday night?
Yes.
I'm just telling you right now, if Jeremy Parnell, if I'm picking teams and I'm picking my offensive line room, Jeremy Parnell is the guy I pick.
He would be one of the first guys that you would pick.
And if I'm in a fist fight,
a T-shirt.
Yeah.
And if I'm in a fight, if I have to go fight somebody, I'm definitely picking him first. Then I'm going to get Greg Jones out of the scouting department.
We saw him Tuesday night. JP was there. The Children's Miracle Network Medicine and Miracles event.
Yes.
Had a fundraiser dinner that was at Everbank Field in the U.S. Assure West Club. And Jeremy Parnell was one of the celebrity waiters. And, I mean, when I saw him, I'm like,
he's
a large human being.
He's a man.
He's been working out pretty hard. Yeah. I mean, arms just.
He's a man.
Whoa.
He can play.
Big man.
I like him.
Let's come back and get to some of the signings.
I'm eating pizza first.
Yeah, get some pizza in Baselli. It's right there. The Thin Crust Mighty Meaty is here. Tinker stole the wings, but we'll get some from him coming up. We'll also go around the National Football League. Our last few minutes with Tony Baselli coming up. We're at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale. You can register to win four tickets to a Jags home game this year. And this is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
On location tonight, Mellow Mushroom in Avondale. The Thin Crust Mighty Meaty is going down smooth.
Jamie Why are you Shadrick, yelling so loud? Stop yelling.
Tony Baselli and Jeff Lagerman. Glad you're with us. Come join us. You can register to win four tickets to a Jaguars home game this year. The roar of the Jaguars.
Non-international. In the U.S.
In the U.S. only.
Trying to help you out.
I'm guessing that. I'm just going to guess.
Well, I guess.
Guess.
Maybe they can offer them in London. You just got to buy a plane ticket to get there.
I'll let you offer them in London.
I'm not.
Tony Baselli says.
I said maybe. You're the one who didn't give the disclaimer.
I did before. Jackson DeVille is here, lounging over here on the right side. The roar of the Jaguars is here.
He is really a pain. You know that?
I know that. For years.
Complete pain.
It's been an issue.
It is.
Jaguars have two draft picks remaining to sign. Juan Smoot and Cam Robinson, the only two left out there. This is becoming less and less of a story each and every year because
it's a non-story.
It's a slotted
there is
process.
No story there. I mean,
it used to be in the old days, right?
Oh, yeah, big story.
There's absolutely no reason the draft picks, every draft pick in the league, there's no reason why that every one of them should not be signed right now.
Do you even need an agent anymore for your first deal?
No, you do not need an agent if you're a rookie anymore. It's that easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a standard contract. It's a simple formula, and it's based upon what happened last year, and then you increase the percentage. Whatever the rookie cap goes up from last year to this year, you duplicate the contracts essentially, and you do the same thing. It's not hard. And why an NFL rookie would want to pay
3%?
I think the cap now is 3%, and it might even have gotten dropped to 2.5%. But why you would want to go ahead and lose 2.5% or 3% of your contract value right off the top for no work.
It's $540,000 for Leonard Fournette over the 5 years of his deal.
The agent doesn't have
to. Right?
Yes.
Is that the right math?
That's right, yeah.
$27 million, 2% is $540,000.
Well, I don't know about the math on that. I have to get on a calculator. But
no, why?
Here's the thing. His agent
1%
did nothing.
1% is $270,000.
Yeah.
So 2% would be $540,000.
Yeah.
Were you a math major at SC?
No, I was a finance major, and I knew.
Oh, see? There you go.
He's going to do it on his phone.
Is that before or after taxes?
He's going to double check it. Double check it on your phone.
$27 million. What's Fournette bringing home after tax?
The what?
What's he bringing home after tax?
I mean, right off the.
Who? In his whole contract?
Yeah.
After 27 million?
After tax.
Well, after tax, we, I mean.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what happens to our tax brackets over the next couple years. You know, so I mean,
$540,000, 2%.
That's a lot of money for an agent that did not have to do anything to help him get drafted to that slot, nor did the agent have to do anything hard work-wise or creativity-wise on the contract.
I'll save him. I could have saved him $400,000.
You'd have charged him $150,000?
Well, I'm going to charge him something. If he's willing to pay $540,000, I mean, why not take something?
Wow.
Okay, I'll save him $500,000.
And you wonder, and you, now you understand as to why the agent business can be so sleazy. Because, I mean, guys are fighting over free money.
That's free money.
I mean, that's essentially what it is for
you. You need them for your second contract.
That's free
money. Agency.
You need but for your first contract, you don't need an agent.
All Leonard Fournette needs is
an attorney.
You don't even need that. It's a standard contract. They're all the same. You need a marketing agent. That's all he needs. Someone to go get marketing deals.
Yeah, but how many rookies get marketing deals?
Well, if you're a top five pick as Leonard Fournette, you're going to get marketing deals. Card deals, I mean.
And here's
an offensive lineman,
thing.
I got stuff like that.
On marketing, you know what the players 15%. Are typically paying? 10 to 15%, sometimes 20%.
Yeah.
So but those agent?
Yeah, but the agents actually work in those deals much harder. There's more value.
That's where
to
the
that.
Agent comes in. That's the big part.
I mean,
because
I mean, how many guys actually make money in marketing deals? There's not a lot.
Oh, sure there are.
No, there's not a lot. Out of the entire draft class, how many guys are going to have a marketing deal waiting for them right now?
Top 10 picks?
10 guys.
Well, I'm saying at the minimum.
10 guys.
There's more than 10 guys going to the rookie premiere this weekend out in L.A. where they send the top, 40 marketable players in the league. It's all rookies.
Doesn't matter.
So you're saying deals,
Deshaun Kizer is getting no marketing deals. Was he a second rounder in Cleveland?
It was early. First. It wasn't first. It was
saying first, whatever, late first, early.
He'll get a shoe deal. Looks like most players get.
He'll get more than that as a quarterback in Cleveland. It's my opinion. Let's go around the league because we've got to get Carson Tinker up here.
And you got to get out of here. Don't you?
You got 3 minutes. Let's go.
Wow. Clock's ticking, eh?
Yeah, it is. And I want another piece of pizza.
Let's go around the National Football League.
That's the big reason.
That's what it is. And we start off in your former college city, Los Angeles.
USC got a big deal. Big signing of the Coliseum. Is that what you're talking about?
Inglewood Stadium delayed to 2020.
Oh, that is. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Rain delayed the early part of excavation at the site. Epic rain this year in L.A., so the Chargers and Rams have to wait another year to move into the new stadium. So
I was actually talking about the L.A. Coliseum sold the
United Airlines.
Huge marketing deal. Largest marketing deal for a college ever. College stadium.
Yeah, but it's not really college because the Rams are playing there too.
Oh, I get that.
And so,
but I think they got. I wonder if they have to take certain things down because the Kroenke's probably trying to sell it too.
Well, the one thing that's reported to get away from the rain delay.
Yes.
The Coliseum deal, which has been struck with United Airlines, part of that deal is to do a lot of upgrades to the stadium because the stadium is decrepit.
Well, USC bought the stadium. It's still owned by the historic, but they control the rights on a 99-year lease or whatever.
So they're going to clean.
Put $270 million on one side to update all the boxes and club seats and everything else.
And United Airlines gets the benefit of also that
the Rams
are going to be playing there in 17, 18, and 19 because the new
stadium.
And
if there's already a delay, don't be shocked if they're there in 21 until 21.
Well, maybe Super Bowl's there at some point, right? When is that?
Well, the Super Bowl's supposed to be in. In 2021, which is after the 2020 season, but there's a league rule that says that you can't host a Super Bowl unless the stadium has been open for more than a year.
So
to make sure
be.
That all the bugs are worked out. But you and I both know, Tony, that how the league works
LA.
Is that if Stan Kroenke wants to do a little handshake agreement, hey, look, we're still going to make this thing go off no problem in 2021 for him building Kroenke Land, it'll happen.
It'll be tight, though. Don't be surprised. This story's not over as far as when they're going to play there and if the Super Bowl is going to be able to.
Here's the bad thing: the Chargers are going to be playing at the StubHub.
StubHub,
right?
35,000
soccer stadium.
So they're going to be playing for 3 years in a 35,000 seat stadium, and how much revenue could they lose because of that 1 year of not being able to play in this new stadium.
Think about it this
way.
I
was told their season ticket revenue is higher at StubHub already than it was at Qualcomm.
Because they are all premier seats. They're all close.
They've like charged like double or triple what they did at Qualcomm.
Might as well just stay there.
Now, I don't know if the overall revenue will be, Jeff, because you have concessions and all that stuff. You're not going to have the volume. But, yeah, the initial season ticket revenue is higher.
Wow.
Because they're charging such a premium.
LeGarrette Blount, 1,000 yards, 18 touchdowns a year ago with the Patriots. Now the Eagles, the hammer in the back.
Screaming Eagles. Yeah, good player. Getting old, though. A lot of wear and tear, power back. You worry about all of a sudden. Those power backs, in my opinion, all of a sudden just disappear. You know, they're good. Wham! See ya.
His yards per carry, I think, dropped this past year. But he's still a physical presence. Can still have games where he can appear to take control of a game, which not many running backs can do from a physical aspect.
Would you even look at, like, when you talk about physical backs, like Maurice Jones-Drew was a physical back. I mean, he went from being one of the best backs to being done really quick.
And congratulations, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah. The UCLA Sports Hall of Fame.
He should be. He's a great back. Great back at SC. I mean, at UCLA, I remember when he played against SC, I used to hate it because he'd run over us and through us. And he was a great back when he was during his prime here in Jacksonville. I mean, great football player. But, I mean, you talk about not a big man who ran like he was much bigger than his body was, and he took a beating.
And had breakaway speed.
Yeah. He was a great
back. Which
is
rare.
But then all of a sudden, those injuries pile up, and Earl Campbell, Hall of Famer.
But Tony, look.
Of a sudden, couldn't do it anymore.
The reality of it is, too, is that Maurice did not exactly take care of his body.
Well, he got even bigger in the offseason.
Then he always lost
very well.
He got bigger. He lost.
That's harder when you get older. It's tough to keep that up.
Final thought around the league. Could Giselle become the Yoko Ono of the Patriots? She said on CBS TV that Tom Brady played with a concussion last year and has had concussions over the years. There are no records, the league said, to indicate he suffered a head injury last season. Could she she send Tom Brady home?
If that happened in my home, I'd go home and I'd say, listen, Angie, let me explain something to you. What we talk about in the bedroom needs to stay in the bedroom. Let's not share any of our little dirty secrets. I don't need you talking to CBS.
Tom full of it.
Tom needs to put Giselle in her place because I would put Angie in her place. I said, listen, you need to know your role. Your role is my wife. And your role is only to speak when spoken to. If you're not spoken to, don't speak.
Oh, really? Is
that about matters that you don't understand?
Is that how it works around there?
Well, as long as she's not listening to the radio, that's exactly how it works. You know what Tom says when he gets home? No problem, Giselle.
You got it.
All good. We're fine. Whatever you want to do.
What's for dinner tonight? What would you like me to make you? There, Giselle.
We just had a conversation before we went on the air about where Tony lives, and he said, look, I live wherever my wife wants to live. So that conversation would not have happened like Tony described it, I can tell you that.
Probably not.
Angie, you say whatever you want.
It makes me feel better right now.
Babe, you're 100%
you're right.
Always right.
You're right all the time.
Yep.
Tony, good to see you.
Oh, it's good. You get Carson Tinker. I'm going to take a piece of pizza with me, though, boys.
Do it. Check out Jack Anania's Audi Jacksonville on Blandy. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. We'll come back with Jaguars long snapper Carson Tinker on set, live in person, fresh off eating a plate of chicken wings. He'll join us. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
The countdown to Daly's Place opening night continues 9 days away. Brought to you by the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association and Visit Florida. Play local, eat local. Stay and play 9 days.
They better hustle.
First concert.
They got a lot of work to do.
Tick-tock. It's coming fast.
They'll make it.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli's out of here. Our guest for the evening here at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale is Carson Tinker, Jaguars long snapper. It's good to see you, pal. How are you?
Good to see you, JP.
Thanks for coming out tonight and visiting with the folks here. Nice crowd tonight.
Right? Baselli did leave you one piece of pizza.
I'm all right.
Well, you had chicken wings.
Yeah, I got full. I'm trying to go low carb at night right now. They're really doing a lot of the body fat testing. They've really been strict on that.
So, really?
Yeah.
Even for specialists.
And I guess this is on the 904 diet, according to Tony.
Apparently so, because he ate half of it himself.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That's Dr. DSPSCSC.
I think we got a violation.
Yeah.
I think we have it on camera, too.
So what's it been like, Carson? You know, you compare last year to this year with, you know, from Gus to now Doug Marone, Tom Coughlin. It's different, isn't it?
It is totally different. It is. I like it. I think it's really good for us. But it is different. There's a lot more accountability, you know, starting from the top all the way down. It's different. Guys are noticing a lot of changes. So,
and you come from a background, University of Alabama, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
JP's
Roll Tide.
Happy about that. Where Nick Saban runs a pretty tight ship,
yes,
from
sir.
What I understand.
Yes,
and
sir.
So this is nothing new to you.
There's a lot of similarities. And, you know, day-to-day, it's not the most fun. But you know what is fun? Winning games, winning championships. And I think that, I mean, I know that's the direction that they want to take it, and I think that they are taking the right steps. Not that it matters to me, but I am, you know, really liking, you know, Coach Marone. And we don't really deal with Coach Coughlin day-to-day, but you can definitely, you know, feel his presence and feel his influence. So.
All the assistant coaches are wearing slacks now in the office. That was the first influence of it.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to work out.
Yeah. There's a dress code up there with the coaches. So
you've got, not only a new head coach, but for the most part, not an entirely new coaching staff, but a lot of new parts to the coaching staff, and one of them is a good friend of mine, special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis, who is widely respected around the National Football League as one of the top special teams coaches. How has it been interacting with him so far?
Joe D's awesome. I really like, you know, coming in and working with him. I thought that we had a really good group of specialists last year, and he's turned it up a notch. You know, he's teaching us new stuff and, you know, different ways to do what we were doing and how to do it better. And I really like how, you know, the influence that he's had on the personnel that he's brought in. He brought in Lorente McCray. I think that was a great sign. You know, Audie Cole, both those guys are coming in. And, I mean, they're just, you know, taking over the special teams. And, I mean, I like that. You know, I take a lot of pride in special teams, obviously. But so do they. And, I mean, Lorente, he's going to be a baller this year. He really is.
How many special teams tackles did you have last year? Just go ahead and tell everybody.
Last year.
I know you're counting.
Last year wasn't my best year. I think I had 7 last year. But 2 years ago, I had 9. I was proud of that. Yeah, I was proud of that.
Didn't you get a personal foul last year?
That was
2 years ago.
No, that was last year in preseason. Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad.
A little aggressive. I like it.
Now, y'all called me out on the radio.
I called you out on that one, Carson. That was pretty bad.
I was having fun, man.
I know. I wouldn't put that in the category of having fun.
I was running towards the ball. The whistle hadn't blown. And it was just some rookie out there. I mean, you got to have your head on a swivel out there.
The NFL.
Terrible.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL, man.
That's right.
I had my welcome to the NFLs. You know, I just saw an opportunity to welcome someone else.
What was yours? Because you've been around here for a few years now. Thinking back to it, how different was Carson Tinker as a rookie as to now?
I've definitely matured a lot.
He stops saying Roll Tide all the time.
Yeah.
That's why, actually. He does.
I quit talking about my college so much. I learned that was my first lesson, is that no one cares where you went
to
school.
That's true.
Which is good and bad. I still have a lot of pride in my school, but I don't talk about it as much. It's still there, though. It definitely is still there. And I think I am I'm just learning more about, you know, how the NFL works. Even rookies are coming to me now, you know, asking, you know, how should I do this? How should I do that? And I mean, I told one of the guys today what socks he should wear because he kept getting blisters. And I mean, that's just, you know, that's something that I never thought I'd be in a position to do, but it is cool, you know, kind of being the old guy.
I think physically is a little different too, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
The weight room and all that.
Yeah. I've got a lot stronger. Milo, he told me he was proud of me, so that was cool coming from Milo because even this year I've gotten stronger, but I mean, I've gotten so much stronger since my rookie year. I got a chest now. I'm pretty proud of that.
And for those who don't know, Milo is the head strength and conditioning coach, Tom Maslinski, or strength coordinator, whatever the title may be. He's very knowledgeable.
Oh, he's one of the best, for sure.
I mean, they actually have GPS tracking systems on guys for practices to monitor their workloads, diet. I mean, you talk about the change in the National Football League, to what you guys and the facilities you have, the diet that you guys
get. We have a nutritionist full-time with just two assistants.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's another difference between, you know, Gus and Doug is the weight room. I mean, guys are showing up early to work out. Guys are showing up early to, you know, get extra work, get pre-prep in, you know, roll out, foam roll, doing all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, it's showing up on the field, and that's what's cool to see.
All right, so the Jaguars draft Cam Robinson, number two, our second-round draft pick. University of Alabama.
Are we allowed to talk about Alabama now?
Well, it's allowed now. It's allowed now because he's a Jaguar now.
Okay, good.
You brought it up, though.
You brought it up.
Give us some insight on Cam Robinson.
He is a big boy. He is a big old boy. And he's got the frame. I think, you know, speaking of Milo, I think Milo's going to fill him out a little bit. I think he's got a lot of room to grow. But great frame, good footwork. I know Flats really likes him. I've been talking to Flats about him, and you know, some of the older offensive linemen, I've been talking to JP about him, you know, trying to make sure, you know, I got to look out for him. And his locker's right next to Puzz, so I'm not worried about, you know, anything going on in the locker room with him. But, you know, I told him if anybody, you know, gives him too much trouble, come find me. I'll take care of it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
bring the...
I can
you
see
got the chest to do that.
For some reason, that doesn't sound right. You got a big offensive lineman going to the long snapper for help.
Yeah, he didn't say he'd take me up on that, but you know the offer's always
it's
there.
It's out there.
D.D. Westbrook, have you had a chance to watch him? A guy that may end up being an impact return guy as well as an offensive wide receiver.
So we're out there, you know, the specials are out there for the offensive practice, and I watch all the receivers. There's a lot of quick guys, but D.D. definitely stands out. He's going to be really cool to see in the return game. When we drafted him, somebody posted a highlight tape of him, and the kid is quick, man. Explosive, you know, get downfield. It's going to be cool to watch him.
All right, you guys rode your bikes up here tonight, right? You and your lovely wife are here this evening with a group here at a table, and you're nearby. This is your hood, right?
Yeah, this is my neighborhood right here.
This is it. You showed me your new bike.
That was great. I'm proud of the bike. Went up to ZigCog on Stockton. You know, shout out to those guys up there. But, I got a bike, and I'm kind of on this bike kick right now. I've been riding to work. So, does that mean I got to cut this off?
Like the music at the Emmys here.
Yeah. I love Avondale. This is my neighborhood, and, you know, so happy to come up here on Thursday night, Mellow Mushroom.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, JP.
Carson Tinker, Jaguars long snapper, joining us. Our thanks to him. Tony Buscelli here earlier. Jeff Lagerman, the roar of the Jaguars. Hello, ladies, wherever you are.
We'll be here again
for a little while. Tonight, this is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.